This morning, we looked at in pretty fair depth about the Holy Spirit and not losing our focus on Him, but keeping Him in the forefront of leading us and following Him. Tonight, I want us to look at a different part of that. That is living by faith, walking by faith. So if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, you and I do a lot of things every day that has absolutely nothing to do with faith. We don't realize that, but we do. I'll give you an example. Dinah invited me to come this afternoon early and work on the sign. Now, she was telling me what to do and how to go about it. But when I had done it, I still had to go look, because it wasn't by faith. I was operating sight. Because when we don't know something, it's hard to put faith in. And if we don't understand a part of life, it's very difficult for us to walk by faith. And so many times God introduces us to new situations. And when He does that, we are supposed to reach out and take a hold of Him and say, "Okay, take me along for the ride." But so many times we begin to panic because we don't know where this is headed, or how it's going to come out, or if it's going to come out at all. I trust that all of you are reading your Bibles daily. And the way I have found, if you don't do it in the morning, most of the time you don't have time to do it. Because the devil gets us busy. And so we don't have time to go back. There is a passage of Scripture that I'm sure all of you have read a number of times. But we're going to look at that tonight. It's the short incident that occurred in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as He was ministering here on earth. So I would ask you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want you to see this portion of Scripture. I want you to look at it, because you have read it many times, I'm sure. But there may be something in it that you have not seen. That happens to me all the time. I read Scripture and then, "I never saw that before." So Luke chapter 5, just a few verses, 17 through 20. Luke 5, 17 through 20. "And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee." That means that they were there from several different towns of Galilee. "And Judea." They were out of every town in Judea. "And Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." How many of you have seen that phrase? "And the power of the Lord was present to heal." "And behold, men brought a man in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch to the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said to him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." That's not what he came for. He needed healing. And it says the power of the Lord was present for him. We only thought he needed healing. This morning we talked about our consideration of the Holy Spirit and the part that he should have in all of our lives and all of our activities. We're to follow his leading and rely on his power to accomplish all that we attempt to do. But the Holy Spirit is also involved in our walking by faith. He is involved with our walking. If we're not walking with him, may not be walking in faith. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22, the last verse of that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, gentleness, goodness, gentleness, faith. He's the one who gives us faith. He's the one who brings faith to us. He's the one who permits us to walk by faith if we're walking with him. The thing that caught my attention in this short passage in Luke 5 is that Jesus told the man who was paralyzed, "Your sins are forgiven." As if that was more important, which it is. Than healing. More important than healing. A right relationship with God. God has a purpose for everything that comes. Jimmy can tell you the verse. You know the verse. It's 8:28. What? That is real. It's not just pie in the sky. That is real. We know. How do we know? By faith. By faith, that's how we know. And so faith is a major part of our life. I am sure that many of you have read this account, but did you see that line? And the power of the Lord was present. It was the working of the Holy Spirit. He has to be there for anything to be accomplished, for anything to be done. The Holy Spirit needs a part of it. He has to be. Now, the thing that this teaches is that the power of God, when the scripture says, "And the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord was present to heal them," that, as I read that, could possibly indicate that there might be times when the power of the Lord is not present. Folks, those are long. Those are times when we look at ourselves and we say, "I can't do this," or "I don't know how to do this," or "I'm not capable of doing this." And so what I want us to think about tonight is, why would the power of God not be there? Why would the Lord's power not be present? There are times when God cannot work in our lives because we are either in the wrong place at the wrong time, or we are not living by faith. We're living in our own strength, our own wisdom. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're much higher than we are. But folks, when we think we know how to do it, a little five-letter word pops up. That's right. Nobody has to tell you, do they, Becky? You know it's there, pride. And it can pop up in the most unusual places. So when God's not present, I think that we need to stop right there and consider why he is not present. Why wouldn't the power of God be present? Possibly because some other power. Possibly. Or we're not right with God, heart. And that can be due to pride. That can be due to any number of things. When this lame man, this paralyzed man, was brought to Jesus Christ, the most important thing to him, to Jesus, was to forgive him. Not to heal him, but to forgive his sins, because that is what he was going to give his life to pay for. And we don't have to. Take me for an example. I'm not pretty. I don't have to be to do the Lord's work. But I do have to be right with him in my heart. I need to be confessed up. I need to know that I'm where the Holy Spirit wants me to be, that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, that I am living by this book. And so do each one of you. It's not unique to the pastor. Every one of you need to know that you are serving him based upon his word. Now, something that's indicated in our incident with Jesus that we need to recognize is that the power of God is present for specific purposes. If you had a plumbing problem, you wouldn't call a carpenter or an electrician. You would call a plumber. So when you need the power of God working in your life, you need to know what you need that power for. You need to know why you want the power of God in your life. Now, there's one thing that we can learn from this incident with Jesus. There were all the doctors. There were all the Pharisees. From almost all every town there in that area, they were there with a critical attitude. They weren't there to praise God. They were there to criticize what Jesus Christ was doing. But the picture I have in my mind is that there were four men carrying this man on the litter. And that four men plus the man on the litter got up on the roof, opened it up so they could lower him in front of Jesus. Because they knew the power was there to heal him. I don't think they were thinking about forgiving sins at that point. Jesus hadn't died and it hadn't been emphasized. But that was five men who had faith. And they were walking by faith. They actually were doing things. Things that seemed unusual. And yet they were doing the very things that needed to be done. And so when Jesus forgave this paralyzed man his sin, I did not hear or read about one single word of protest. They were glad. And then so Jesus could prove he knew what the Pharisees were thinking. He knew what the lawyers were thinking. And so just to prove that he had that authority, what did he do? He said, okay, take your litter, get out of here. And did. Proof that Jesus had the authority to forgive sin. That man who came in on a litter walked away as whole as anybody in that entire crowd, including the Pharisees and the lawyer. You see, you can have purpose without faith, but you cannot have faith without purpose. And that's what we want to look at. That's what we need to look at. Is, do we have a purpose? And do we have faith? If we have faith, we must have a purpose to exercise that faith in. When Jesus worked, there was a large contingency gathered to watch Jesus at his work. And the scripture tells us that there were Pharisees and doctors from every city in the towns around that area, most of Israel. Do you think they came to applaud what Jesus did? Should we expect applause for what we do for Jesus? It's not going to happen. So we shouldn't be disappointed when it doesn't happen. They came to bring doubt among the people who were there, among the people who were following Jesus. They came to bring doubt. They came to criticize the work of God. Folks, that's happening all over the country. Right? The government. Men who not elected people, yes, but men who were appointed who were never elected, chose to take the law into their own hands, who had no authority to make law, but they did. And nobody. When in 1962, the Supreme Court said you can't pray. I think that it's fairly important that we understand that not all actions are of faith, but faith does require action. The Apostle James tells us that. James 2, 14 through 20. Let me read that passage. James 2, 14 through 20. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not of those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy face without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead? Are we going to exhibit faith? Coastal Shore Baptist. That means that we need to be doing something. And I would ask you the question tonight, what should we be doing? What should we be doing? You see, if we all have the Holy Spirit, and I assume that we do, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is living in your soul. He is there for one reason, to help you. What did Jesus call him? Call him a comforter. Someone to comfort us through life. Someone to get us through life. But he is doing something, and I'm not seeing the evidence of it. He should be giving us all vision for where we go from here. If we don't have a vision for what God wants for us, what does He tell us in His Word? Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we have people perishing all around today. They will tomorrow, they will the day after. So what vision is God giving you for our ministry? If the Holy Spirit's in you, He's doing it. Are you communicating with Him? Are you letting Him communicate with you? What vision do you have for where we go from here? Jesus has just told us, through James, faith without works is dead. Are we going to be a dead church? Or are we going to be a live? And I won't make that decision. I can't make it. You have to. That's why we're all part of a family. Every one of you should have a vision to where you fit in. What God has given you to do. And how to go about it in faith, not in your strength. If you think you can do it in your strength, that's not of God. He doesn't need you for that. Here's a neat thing about God. He knows what we can do. We don't know. But He knows. And He's not going to call you to do anything that you think you can do, because then you'll think you're doing it, and he's not. So He's going to ask you to do things that you don't believe you can do. And when He does that, He's going to make it possible for you to do them. If you have faith in Him, not in you, in Him. The establishing of goals is vital. that every successful organization and every successful individual. Do you want to be successful? God. Then you are going to have a vision. Not one of those, that's not the kind of vision we're talking about. We're talking about a Holy Spirit communicated vision. You could call it a call. You could call it ordination. You could call it any number of things. Again, AB, the evening service. But we all need vision. There have been times when we have all had vision. One of the times was when some of you ladies want to put a steeple on the church. You had a vision. A church with a steeple. And because you had a vision and you had faith that it could be done, it got done. A few years ago, I shared with you my vision for reaching the people driving back and forth past the church. And you got a hold of that and you got excited about it. And we put a sign out by the road. And God said, we need a better sign. Bap. Bolt of lightning came down and burned it up. And the insurance company paid us $5,000 more than what we paid for the sign. That's God working. And some of you now have a vision for what can happen out there on that sign. And someday, Becky, it will be closed in underneath it, okay? It'll even have the church name under it, so lit up. Oh, we need to know where God wants us to go. Because if we don't have vision, we're not going anywhere. Understand that? If we don't have vision, if you don't have vision, we are not going anywhere. We'll just sit here and shrivel. But God wants each one of you, and if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the ability to have a vision as to what God wants to do with us. Us, all of us. Again, linked arm in arm. So that we're all involved. And maybe you don't have the skill to build something out of wood or metal. But you can handle a broom. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's the vision he has. But we each should understand that there is a place. Faith must be demonstrated by works. We can say we have all the faith in the world. But if we're not doing something with that faith, it's totally worthless. So we need to understand that it's not wrong for us to have vision. It's not wrong for you ladies to have a vision as to what God might want you to do or how he might want to use you here in this ministry. Use you. I won't be preaching because the Bible talks about that. But he has a job for each one of you. And we want to do that. That's what we want to do. The establishing of goals is vital to every successful organization. And the moment we don't have goals, we become stagnant. You want a picture of a church with no goals? I make coffee every Sunday morning in a bun coffee maker in the kitchen. I always dump the grounds from the decaf because I've got to have that basket for the high test. But sometimes the grounds for the high test don't get dumped. So the next Sunday morning when I come in and I pull the basket out, there's little green things on it. There are furry spots. It's become stagnant. Churches get the same. They get the same. Spiritually inside, we get stagnant. And so we, as a church family, we need to have a vision for what we can do or what God wants us to do. We may not be able to do it, but He can. Is there anything too hard for God? No. So don't be afraid to have a vision. Don't be afraid to share. God wants to use each of you. He doesn't want you just sitting here warming a chair. He wants you working. Faith without work is what? And so I ask you again tonight, what kind of a church do we want? Yeah, we want a life. And we want other people to know it's alive. And they will by the fruit that we produce. Jesus, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, told his disciples, by their fruits ye shall know them. And folks, we've got to start producing. We need to start producing fruit. There have been times in the past where we've had goals, where we've had visions. And we have done those. The Lord has permitted us to do that. The Lord has helped us to accomplish those things. But right now, what is our vision? What is your vision for this? Become some of the best singers in the county? Be all right if you want it, but I don't think that's a vision that God has. I think He has a vision of our getting out there and working. Right? And that means we're going to have to expend some effort. You, every one of you, expended some effort to get here tonight. But that's just here. That's not next week, next month, next year. How and what does He want you to do during that time? I really believe that we are at a point where we need to come together and reevaluate what we are doing and where we are headed. Can anybody tell me where we're going to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now? January 1st? We should be able to. We should be working toward it. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We just know He is. Because He promised He would. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14, you know, I'll come back and get you. It looks like it's getting pretty close to the time he's coming back. But in the meantime, folks, we're not supposed to be selling all of our furniture and getting on the roof. And some of you older folks know what I'm talking about, because there have been other groups that have done that. That's right. They were told by their leadership that Jesus was coming back on a certain day, and so they liquidated everything, got up on the roof of the church, and went. Folks, we don't want any of you on, okay? But there are things that we can do. There are jobs that God can call us to. There are jobs he can call you to. There are goals he can give you. And if he doesn't, there's something wrong. Goals are just plans for accomplishment. Nothing fancy. But we should be able to verbalize what our goals are. If I give you a word, we had some new words in Sunday school this morning. If I cannot define that word, you, I really don't understand what that means. And if you cannot define a goal for you, then you don't have a goal. An idea, maybe. A goal is different. A goal is a conviction that you must do something for the Lord, not for yourself, for the Lord. And you have the conviction that he is going to enable you to do that. The Great Commission, we all are very familiar with it, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where we were to go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the world. The Great Commission from our Lord, our personal Savior, begins with an important information that we must have forgotten, because we're trying to do things. I'm not fussing. I should have as much vision as you do. But we need, you need to, I need to get alone with the Lord and let him show us what he wants. And when we come together, the Holy Spirit that is in your soul is the same Holy Spirit that's in my soul, and he's not going to, like a bunch of quail, send us in all different directions. He is going to help us focus on what the next things we need to do. God. Doing sitting. You may be learning. You may be acquiring information. But we have to go further than that. Do you have faith? And I'm sure if I ask you on an individual basis, do you have faith? Yes, I have faith. Then what are you doing? Well, I'm sitting at home and praying. That's good. What are you praying about? Well, know what I'm supposed to do. Folks, the answer is in here. The Holy Spirit is already here. He knows. But we have gotten so used to communicating with this and this that we have forgotten how to communicate. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Communicate with him. See what he gives you to do. See what goals he gives you. Some of them may be short-term goals. But Wednesday night, I think I ought to be in church, okay? Praise the Lord. Next Sunday, I think I ought to be in church. Praise the Lord. But what goals, what long-term goals does he give you? What does he want you to accomplish? I can assure you that every one of us should be soul winners. Every one of us should be leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. He saved you, didn't he? Can he save somebody else? He certainly can. Does he want to? Yes, he does. We read in 2 Peter where he does. So why isn't he? Because we are not putting forth the effort to explain, to get to these. Because we don't have a vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. Now, I don't want to discourage. And up to now, we've been sort of headed in that direction. I want to change direction here just a little bit. Every one of us sitting here tonight know in our heart God wants us to disciple somebody. God wants us to lead somebody to the Lord. If I told you that God was going to do the work for you, and we all ran out the door, talked to the first person we came across, I don't think we'd see a whole lot of things happen. I really don't. One of us might accidentally run into somebody who was ready. The odds against that are phenomenal. No, God has somebody for you that he has prepared. Somebody, a particular person. And he's going to put you in their path. You need to be ready. It may be a loved one. It may be a neighbor. It may be somebody who clerks at a store someplace where you shop. But there is somebody out there that God has intended for you to deal with. And they're there right now. You have the Holy Spirit. He will guide you to that person. That's what he's there for. I have never seen an example of the Holy Spirit putting his hands over both eyes and saying, guess who? He's going to convict you. He's going to lay on your heart something. He does. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't be afraid. To handle for him He'll save them. He'll help them to grow. He just needs for you to tell him. Now, there may be somebody sitting here tonight that would respond either verbally or in their mind, "I've been doing this all my life and no one has ever responded positively. Have I been talking to the wrong people?" Maybe so. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to show you who he wants you to call? Have you asked? Now, God, who am I supposed to talk to? Nope. Holy Spirit. That's why he's there. He's there to give you. Remember when the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a man's son, and they couldn't do it. And the man brought his son to Jesus, and he said, "Your disciples tried, but they couldn't." And Jesus said, "Oh, thou of little faith, what am I going to do?" And then his disciples afterward came to him, and they said, "Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast him out like you did?" And Jesus made a statement at that point, a statement that we all need to make note of. Jesus said, "Some cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting." Folks, if you want a vision from the Lord through his Holy Spirit, you may have to try prayer and fast. We've stopped doing this. But we may need to return. Because they could not do it because they did not have the faith. We, including myself, cannot determine what God's vision is for us unless we have faith with him. And sometimes that requires prayer. I can't tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit. But we need a vision. Whole thing. And you are the ones. I've given you some ideas. A few more verses to close. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 10:17. You know that one. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then once again, Jesus' response to his disciples who couldn't do the work, they couldn't cast out the demon. In Matthew 17:21, Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. There is going to be a price to pay if we are going to serve the Lord according to. Are you willing to pay the price? That's between you and the Lord. Father, we do want to be your children. We do want to serve you. We want to see people saved. And Father, we want to see our faith increase. So as we read your word, increase our faith. And Father, as we pay the price that you demand, may we have a vision for how you want us to be. Father, it is our prayer tonight that your will be done in each heart that is assembled here. And Father, that you will be glorified as we do your will in your way and in your time. Thank you, Father, for the day that somebody told us about Jesus Christ. And we ask him to come to our heart and forgive our sins. Help us, Father, to do the same for someone else. And we will praise you. Because we ask it in.